If you're here last week, you know that we're taking a break from our sermon series in the book of Luke to go through the four pillars of our church. These are the foundation of our church. For the last probably 6 months or so, our elders have been meeting together almost every single week for about 3 to 3.5 hours every week, talking about just vision and future of Celebration Church coming into 2021. We've been really excited about a lot of things that have happened and a lot of things that are happening. We've had a lot of momentum and a lot of movement happen in 2020. And while many other churches were declining or falling apart, our church went to 2 services. We're bigger than we've ever been. We've been growing, and God has been blessing Celebration Church. And we just want to share with you, we want to bring you guys in as best as we can into some of those elder meetings and having some of the conversations that we've been having about direction and steering and what our focus should be. And so last week we talked about discipleship. We talked about the importance of discipleship and specifically the ways that we as a church were going to disciple people. And so we talked about how D1, D2, D3 were all classroom environments where we would build up and disciple people with strong theological truth, scripture, and otherwise, where people would be diving in. Now, D1, that's a foundations course that I believe that every person in our church needs to go through. It's a 16-week-long class that we will be having. We're finishing up this class, this exact class, right now. We're in the last couple weeks of it right now, and we'll be having another one start sometime in the summer. And so be looking for that D1 class. That's going to be important. But one of the main things that we pushed last week was celebration groups. Celebration groups is relational discipleship. And so celebration groups is one of the most valuable things that we can do as a church. It's a thing that very few churches are actually doing. Most churches are leaving this concept of relational discipleship, despite the fact that we see it within the scriptures as Jesus' primary method of discipleship. Living life together, building relationships with a few people, raising them up, and then sending them out. That is relational discipleship at its core. It's what Jesus Christ did, and that's what we hope to do is imitate his model. And so Celebration Groups is intended to do that. We've got sign-up sheets out there to sign up for Celebration Groups. We had a ton of people sign up last week, but they are still open for 3 more weeks, and we'll be pushing them every week so that hopefully when we launch them, they will be just hitting the ground running. And so I can already say that we have about 40 people in our group, which we're really happy about. But that group is going to be pretty large. And so don't think that you can't sign up for ours. We're happy to have as many people as would like to sign up for any group come. So if you want to come to our group, please come to our group. We would love that. But if you want to go to another group, please do that as well. What's going to happen is after about a month, we're probably going to take each of these groups and assess the situation and say, how many groups do we need? And so in our group, we might split that group out into 3 different groups so that we can have a more robust grouping and have smaller groups that will help to build relationships in. It's tough to build relationships with 40 people in the room. And so that's kind of the structure of what we'll be doing with our discipleship groups. Would very much encourage you to be a part of them. Sign up for one if you have not already. It will be beneficial. If you cannot sign up for one of those days, let me just say that as we multiply out these groups, we'll probably be meeting at different days and times. And so we'll keep that information in front of you as we go. So don't be worried if you can't come on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday to one of the groups that we have currently. They will probably be throughout the week as we continue to go on. Finally, as we think about this week, we're gonna be thinking about corporate worship. Last week we talked about discipleship. This week we're going to be talking about corporate worship. This is a pillar of who we are as a church. We come every week and gather together on a Sunday morning to worship God. And there's a lot of questions that surround corporate worship. Is there not a lot of questions like, is it actually that important? How long or how often do we need to go to church for us to get our brownie points with God? How many times do we need to be there for us to be good Christians? Is Sunday morning important? Is gathering for worship necessary for the Christian? And if so, how often? Can we gather digitally? As we stand right now, we have a great many people who view our videos online. In fact, I don't know if you guys know this, but every video that we put out for a Sunday morning gets somewhere between 75 and 100 views. Now, that might be one person just clicking the same video 10 times. We're really not sure. But it could also be families of four or six or eight that are clicking that video and their whole family is watching as well. So we're kind of equating that for each view that we have to roughly one person. But it might even be more than that. So every video that Celebration Church puts out is a digital reaching that we're trying to do, something that we really just started this year as a church. Before coronavirus, we never did videos as a church. And so stepping into this realm, we have a surprising number of people who are watching and tuning in online, definitely when it's really cold out. Here's what I would say to that is, If you are joining us online, we're so glad that you are, but there is a value in coming in person. It would be better if all of our people could be here together to build relationships together. Not to say that we don't value people who are tuning in online and listening to sermons and worshiping with us online. That's great, but there is a value to being together and being in community. Let's read Psalm 42 as we explore a little bit more about corporate worship. We're going to start in verse 1. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. The psalmist here is in a rough state. You can see it as he thinks about and wrestles with like his situation in life. I'd like us for a moment to compare where we are as a country, as a culture, with where he is. He's literally saying, my soul thirsts for the living God. Why? Why? Because he's having trouble with his enemies. His enemies are literally telling him, where is your God? Who do you think you are? My tears have been my food day and night. Oof. You see, the psalmist was in a rough place. How many of us, if we are honest, are looking at our culture and saying, oh my goodness, we are in a rough place? How many of us have maybe even heard this question, where is your God in all of this? Where is your God? America is doing this and this and this. Where is your God? As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. And where does he go to find God? Well, he goes with the multitude to the house of God, a multitude-keeping festival with glad shouts and songs of praise. It can be found in the presence of God. Now, keep in mind, this is the Old Testament scriptures, and so they're literally talking about the temple of God. The temple of God where the Holy of Holies dwelled, and God bodily manifested himself physically in the temple. Now we know now that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am present, but we are the temple of God. It's no longer a building or a place. We are the people of God. And so it's possible to worship and have communion and relationship with God throughout your week at any point. But there is value, as the psalmist says, in going with the throng and going into the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, there is value in a multitude-keeping festival. Corporate worship is still important. It is valuable. It is still necessary for the Christian. And so as we look at this, we say that yes, there's worship throughout the week, but there's something special about corporate worship. And we have to ask the question, what is the purpose of gathering together? What is the purpose of our corporate worship? The first one is to worship God. Corporate worship is not primarily about us. It's about God. There's a lot of churches that get this wrong. A lot of churches that are trying to put on presentations and experiences, shortening the sermons, lengthening the worship, trying to let people have, you know, videos or dramas or skits, and all of those are fine, but keep in mind, if the goal of our worship service is for people to leave with an experience, we have missed the main point of worship. We've missed the main point of corporate worship if our goal is to entertain. It's about God. It's to worship God. We must take care not to lean toward entertainment-based gatherings rather than pure worship of God. But we must also take care not to slide toward a man-centered focus that incorporates whatever is popular in our culture. There's a lot of churches out there that are giving 15-minute TED Talks with a Bible verse tacked on. It's not healthy. It's not right. This book must be the very center of what we draw our worship from on Sunday mornings. That means that when we preach from the Word of God. When we sing songs, it comes from God's Word. It digs into the deep theology of God's Word and declares it as truth. That's how we worship. That's how we worship. It's not a TED Talk with a Bible verse. It's not for us. It's primarily for God. God has told us how, in His Word, how we are to worship Him. And this means that we come to worship on God's terms, not ours. We do in worship, corporate worship, what God wants, not what we want. People have gotten this so mixed up, and we see things where churches are beginning to worship God however they want instead of how God wants. And how is that honoring and glorifying to the most holy God, saying, I am holy, I am righteous, this is how you are to worship me. And then we go and worship Him in ways that are radically different than what He is. There's danger in that. John Calvin was so adamant about this point, he said the entire project of the Protestant Reformation was about worshiping God in a way that was pleasing to Him. Let me say that again. The entire point of the Protestant Reformation was about worshiping God in a way that was pleasing to Him. The first filter we use to determine what happens in corporate worship is this helping us glorify and worship God? But there's a second thing. The second purpose of corporate worship is to encourage and to build up the church. It's not for our comfort, but it is for our edification. Corporate worship is here to encourage us and to build us up, to make us more like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. For building up. The purpose of corporate worship is to build up. And so if we've got something that is not intended to build people up, encouraging, exhorting, strengthening, it shouldn't be in corporate worship. And if there's a specific thing that happens in a corporate worship that tears people down, it needs to be removed. So the second filter we use to determine what happens in corporate worship is, will this edify the church? Will this build up the church? There's a third purpose for corporate worship. It's to show the world what heaven will be like one day. What's heaven going to be like one day? It's going to be awesome, right? Men and women, each one of us in relationship with God and others, perfect unity. There's going to be community, there's going to be love, mercy, joy, worship. When people walk through the doors of Celebration Church, my prayer, my hope is that they would see a little slice of heaven. That they would see the joy that we have and say, what is going on here? This is so radically different than what we see in the world. The world is divided. The church is unified. The world, there's hatred and animosity and anger and frustration. The church, there's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. We are supposed to be so countercultural that when people see the church, they're going to see Christ and they're going to see heaven. Show the world what heaven will be like one day. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes when people come into a church, they see just people who are kind of grumpy. Or they see people who don't interact with them, kind of stick to themselves, or kind of lone rangers. They see a bunch of people who come in and don't really know each other well. Or they see a bunch of people who put on a bunch of masks and they just fake their Christianity. That's what people oftentimes see when they come into the church. Sometimes we create barriers to people actually experiencing Jesus Christ simply by the way that we interact with each other on Sunday morning. Sometimes the way that we create barriers isn't even personal, it's impersonal. Sometimes it's just not having what's needed. Sometimes it's having shortages of things. I would hope that Christ Jesus need be the only stumbling block we present to people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Think about this. Jesus Christ and the gospel, that is a hard hurdle to leap. Jesus Christ and the gospel and hearing, I'm a sinner, I need a savior, I need salvation, I need hope, I am not enough in and of myself. That's the gospel, that's the truth, that's the stumbling block for people. But my hope is that they would stumble over that block instead of the other potential blocks that many churches put out. We have all sorts of different blocks we present to people. My hope is that we would have a welcoming environment, a well-prepared sermon, fully prepared worship team, helping, caring volunteers, fully staffed childcare, so that when people see our church, they're not seeing other stumbling blocks that they're struggling to get past and that might be keeping them from the gospel. We're called to show the world what heaven will be like one day. That means that we make the gospel the primary thing that we talk about. We make Jesus Christ the focus of our church, of our corporate worship. He has to be central. And we need to work, strive, as to the Lord, not to present a show, not to present a concert experience to people, but as to the Lord, we want to worship God intentionally. So I just want to talk for a sec, just like last week was a little bit different. We talked kind of vision. I want to talk about vision for Celebration Church in corporate worship, where we've been and where we're going. So let's start with where we've been. Celebration Church, since its inception, I think it was 14 years ago, Celebration Church has always centered itself on God's Word. It has always prioritized the Word of God as the primary reason why we are gathering. We are not a social club. We are a church. And if we lose sight of this, we turn into a social club. We turn into a community center where people hang out and get to know each other, but there's no God in it. This has to be the focus of worship. And Pastor Chip, the pastor that was here before me, did an excellent job of making sure that Celebration Church was biblically grounded. He walked through books of the Bible expositionally, verse by verse. He dug into the text and made sure that when we talked about the text, when we talked about the Bible, it was in its proper context. It used proper cross-references. It dug into scriptural truth. He did an excellent job, and I'm so grateful for that, and we as a church are as well. Because God's Word is of primary importance. It tells us how we are to worship God. But Celebration Church has always done that well. It's also been a very joyful church. Celebration Church has always been loving and caring, always willing to give a helping hand. I remember when I moved from Denver to come here, and Drew and the search committee, they asked, Brandon, do you need anybody for us to come out to help you move? Which was a huge ask in the first place, and I said, no, I'm fine. And so I got like three people to help me move, and it took like like hours upon hours upon hours of cleaning and moving and working and striving to get out. And I remember the last night we were there, Melissa and I were up to like 3 in the morning trying to finish the job. And it was just, we were so frustrated, we were so tired, we were so discouraged. And, you know, the next morning, just a few hours later, we jumped in the truck and drove here. And we got to our new house and, you know, tired, kind of grumpy, back hurts, just everything's not good. And we just start to see, our truck pulls up to our house, and we start to see people showing up. We had heard that Celebration Church would have a few people help us move in. More than 40 people showed up to help us move in. And not only did they move the boxes into our house, they unpacked the boxes and put them in drawers and unpacked things and started hanging things on the walls and mounting TVs and fixing furnaces and washers and dryers and all sorts of stuff. Like, as on day 2, like, everything was done. It was the most incredible experience we've had in regards to moving. It's always horrible to move. But Celebration Church made moving one of the best experiences that we've ever known. It was so cool to see how you guys, Celebration Church, showed up and loved us so well. Can I just say, that's who we are as a church. When we have new members or new people, it's like, man, I want to join your church. You want to know the number one thing that they say, reason why? It's because it's so loving. People are so welcoming here. And then because they're talking to me, they'll say like, oh, and it was a great sermon too. Like, almost as like an afterthought, like, man. The encouragement that comes from each one of us building relationships with new people is so valuable. And the way that we are willing to step up and help the people around us is so valuable. We're centered on God's word. We're joyful and loving and welcoming. So if you're new here, if you're like, man, what is Celebration Church about? I would encourage you, this is a church that you want to be a part of. This is a healthy church that is growing, and God is moving. God is doing some incredible things. And so if you want to know more, like seriously, just stick around like 10 minutes after the service and you'll have like people swarming you to like meet you and know you and hang out with you. And that's a pretty cool way to do church. I've been a part of churches that don't do that. And experiencing it at Celebration Church is absolutely amazing. I love that. And these are things that we want to move forward as we continue into 2021. These are things that we want to continue to foster and grow and continue to keep strong here at Celebration Church. But there's a few things that we want to go into in 2021, things that we've been working on improving framework-wise that will help facilitate continued growth and health. And the first is that, like, we are, when we think about corporate worship, when we come on a Sunday morning, we want to make sure that we give our very best to the Lord. Like I said previously, this is not a concert. We are not here to have a TED talk with a Bible verse on it. We are here to worship the most holy God. Everything that we do must be done intentionally as to the Lord, to the very best that we can do it. That means like, man, like imagine if I came and I had done no prep in my sermon. It would be horrible. You can imagine if you guys do it, I'm the same way. I'm not special. If I get up here and I haven't prepared a sermon for you guys, it would be bad. But as it is, I spend hours in scripture and in the text and wrestling with what's the best thing to say to God's people on God's day. Like, what is the best thing that we can go through this text? What does this text have to say to us? I promise I will come prepared. Because I'm worshiping God in the way that I preach. Not as to men, but as to the Lord. And in the same way, like not just the sermon, but like the worship team. Our worship team practices almost every single Thursday, learning new songs and preparing for Sunday morning. Our worship team is fighting hard to make sure that the work that they put into will be shown on Sunday morning so that we can enter into worship together. It's valuable and it's important. It's a level of preparedness that we must have, intentionality that we must have for a Sunday morning service. We don't want to fly by the seat of our pants. That's not who we want to be as a church. But we want to come ready to worship the Lord together and to enter in and help lead our congregation into worship together. Our worship team has been going through a number of improvements over the past few months. And that's an understatement. We have changed quite a bit of things. We've changed the very way that they communicate with one another. We've started using a program called Planning Center, which helps people in Music Stand and which helps our worship team prepare and organize events better. We've gone through a number of AV improvements. We've fixed the soundboard. And by fixed, I mean replaced, because one day Brandon got back there and accidentally unplugged a thing, and then I broke everything, I guess. And through all of that, the solution was better than the problem that I made. So, yay. That's how I work. I just create problems where the solution is better than the problem itself. Anyway, we've got a new soundboard that's new and updated, and it's awesome. There's a bunch of cool features that are working on utilizing for that. We've got a new amp that will help us connect the subwoofer so it sounds better. We've got new drums. I don't know if you've noticed, but these drums are plastic. And not real drums. You probably haven't noticed. My wife was like, "We got new drums?" Well, yes, these are electric drums. Really what these are is we can adjust how loud these drums are, and the people who are online can now hear the drums in the worship service, which is pretty cool. In addition to that, we've got some new cameras that will be mounted to the wall pretty soon, which I'm pretty excited about. Get rid of the tripod in the back of the room, along with the three stools that tripod is standing on. We're getting there. We've got cameras, we've got new computers for our tech team, for the audiovisual team, and then the slides. So hopefully that will help continue to improve some of the stuff that we need to do. We've got new software that we've got coming and are building out. We've got training that we've been doing. We've been working to mic different instruments like the violin and the piano and the drums. We've been continuing to work and improve the quality so that we can achieve like a smooth time of worship. So that we can be smooth. So that it can be distraction free. So that we can try to be free of technical errors. And we're human, it's never going to be perfect, but we're trying to get to a place where there's fewer distractions. Be able to have a better YouTube presence so that people who are worshiping online can have a better experience as well. Guys, can I just say, we've been extremely fortunate to have donors who have donated quite a bit. I mean, you guys have seen TVs, and you'll see a few more things popping up in the coming weeks and months. Like, the donors that we've had multiple donors who have stepped up and said, "Man, this is really important, this is really valuable, let me help." And so most of the funds that we've been using have not actually been out of our budget, but just from generous people who have said, "How can we help?" And so that's been really, really cool, and it's been an incredible blessing for our church. But in addition to worship team and being intentional with our, this room, we're actually even trying to work on Celebration Kids. Celebration Kids is first service and second service, and as it stands right now, we've got one class for each, and it goes from 4-year-old to 10-year-old, which is like preschool to fifth grade. And that's a pretty wide range, and it's really difficult to teach people from all of those different ranges on a Sunday morning in one class. And so one of the things that we're working to do for Celebration Kids is to divide those classes out, multiply those classes out into 2 or 3 different classes so that we can have kids learn on their level instead of trying to have a fifth grader learn on a 4-year-old level, because that makes it really difficult. And that's one of the things that we need for Celebration Kids is we need volunteers who would be willing to step into a role like that and to help us each week as we work on improving those groups and making sure that kids can learn on their level the gospel. But not only that, for Celebration Kids, we're doing a couple other things, which should be pretty cool. We're going to try to have a designated area of the church specifically for children. And so our hope is that we'll be able to corral them into a place where they can't get out until they're picked up by their parents. In addition to that, we'll have a check-in system that hopefully will be very easy and simple to use in the coming weeks, where you will be able to check your child in, get a sticker, slap that sticker on the child's back, and then grab another sticker, and when you're ready to pick that child up, you will provide your sticker and get your child back. So that there's increased security. That will help some of the younger families make sure that, you know, maybe there's a situation where certain people shouldn't be picking up that kid, and those kids maybe are running amok and they can just take a child or something. We're trying to increase the security of Celebration Kids so that that doesn't happen. And so that's extremely important. It's something that we're prioritizing in the coming weeks, just getting increased security, getting a check-in system, getting a person in that hallway so that kids aren't running amok as much, but they're contained a little bit more, and we're able to make sure that we have give some parents some peace of mind, which is going to be helpful. In addition to Celebration Kids, we're working on kind of our greeting team and our welcome table. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a giant TV that says welcome on it as you walk in the doors, in front of a table with a bunch of stuff for welcoming new people. We're working on our lobby and making sure that lobby is conductive to fellowship and community after services. We're working on Connect cards. Previously, we had cards that you'd tear off on the bulletin. The day that we moved to Connect cards, I got more Connect cards than I had gotten in the 6 months previously with the tear off on the bulletin. So that helps us as a church just follow up and get to know people and build relationships in a really cool way. So we've got Connect cards that we're using. We're building up a welcome table so that people will have a place where they can sign up. So instead of signing up with Julie is great, but not everybody might know Julie. And so if there's somebody new that wants to connect with something, we can say, hey, go sign up at the welcome table. And so you hear that in the coming days as well. We'll be doing that also. Studies show that most people have made up their mind, most new visitors to a church have made up their mind about that church within the first 7 minutes of attending church. That's before the third song. And so the question that we have is, how do we engage people from the moment that they drive into our parking lot to the moment that they sit down to the moment that they hear the songs and experience the sermon? At what point are we going to be able to engage people and give them or remove barriers, so to say, so that they can hear the gospel? There is something called street to seat. Where we think about how from the street to the seat we can engage people and welcome them and love them. My hope is that we would do that very well. And so our greeting team is awesome at this, and we're working on ways that we can even engage people from the parking lot and just even from out of their car if it's a new visitor place to park or things like that. That may be coming also. We've been working on that, but we've also been working on our digital presence. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we've updated our website. We've shifted some things around. We've changed a few things, and it's been an awesome time just to work with our website directors and build some of this out. And it's not totally done, but if you're interested in knowing what our website looks now, like now, I would encourage you to go look at it. We've had 523 people view our website from Google in the last month, which is awesome. In addition to that, we have online giving. Oh, by the way, studies show that 70% of people, new people, will visit a church's website before they actually visit the church. Online giving has been implemented in the last 9 months or so since COVID started. This has helped us be consistent in our giving, even when we might not be here. And I just want to encourage this. This is kind of a personal thing for me. It's really beneficial to just do reoccurring online giving. We have a box at the back of the room, but I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gone where, you know, I've forgotten my checkbook, or I have just forgotten, or I haven't been there in a certain week, and it helps me to just give reoccurringly online so that it's the first fruits of what I have to offer every month. It helps me to focus on giving God what's not the leftovers, but kind of the beginning of my month. I'll just set it aside and send it to the church. And it helps us as a church know kind of have a stability in our giving. Some months it's a lot, some months it's not a lot. And so it helps us to know kind of where we're at for giving as well. Studies show that online giving increases giving by 33%. So that's pretty awesome. I would very much encourage you, if you haven't considered online giving before, churches who do online giving and have implemented it in the past, they took a survey of the older people within the church, people over 59 years old. And they asked the question, how many of these people give online? Over half of them gave online. There's a significant value in online giving. It obviously doesn't have to. We're not changing anything. You can give however you want. But if you're interested in something like that, it is available to us on our website. We're changing our video room, and so everything that's at the back of the room right now, all those monitors and computers, you can turn around, that's okay, you know, all those, they're waving at you. All of that's moving. We're actually getting rid of that whole area. We're going to put it over into this room to the left of our sanctuary. My left, your right. We're going to put it back there, and we're going to have everything controlled remotely so that we're going to be able to remove some of the eyesore that is that. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun. In addition to that, we're going to have, I mean, the sound improvements that we've been making and working on directly translate into the online videos. And so we're working to improve that experience as well. So if you're watching online, continue to see those updates and hopefully you notice them. If you don't notice them, that's fine too. But really, through all of this, the thing that I really just want to get across to us, like last week, in the last week, I have had two different people say to me both, Brandon, slow down, which I get, and another person say, Brandon, hurry up, which I get. I understand. And as we wrestle through, like, what are we supposed to do as a church, and how fast are we supposed to go through things? And many of us might even be here like, well, what about this ministry or that ministry or this thing or that thing? Can I just say we are working hard to do our best to prioritize certain things right now? Let me give you an example. It would be awesome to have a church that has a huge men's ministry and a huge women's ministry, huge groups ministry, huge children's ministry, huge youth group, huge everything. That would be awesome. I want that. But here's the thing, if I come up and say, we're doing all of those things right now, what would happen is we'd get 10 people who would be on board for men's ministry, and 10 people who would be on board for women's ministry, and 10 people who would be in groups, and 10 people who would be in children's ministry, and 10 people who would, let me just say, our goal as a church is to focus, laser focus on one thing, or a few things, very, very well, and bring those into where they need to be so that we can get full buy-in, implement them well, and then step on to the next thing. Right now, our huge focus is celebration groups. That's our huge focus. And there's other things that we want that we're not able to get to yet, but it's coming. And so just be patient. We're working as elders. We're working on it. We're trying to find the right timing for each thing. And like even this last week, I had somebody who said, man, Brandon, how hard would it be for us as a church to start doing youth group every week? Which is a huge desire. I would love to have a youth group every week. But one of the main things that's keeping us from that is we don't have the leaders that we need. Regardless of where you're at, let me just say, we as elders, we have not arrived. We do not have all the answers. We need your input. We need your help. We would love to hear from you guys. If there's something that we could be doing better, like, we want to hear it. Our mission is never going to change, but the model through which we do ministry can. And if there's an effective way to do this that we don't know about, we'd love to connect with you and just grab coffee and hang out and just chat. We need your help. We need your input. We want to be faithful to respect where Celebration Church has been as a church, but we also want to make sure that as we move forward, we're looking to the future of where Celebration Church will be going. Because God is moving. God is moving, and the last thing I want to do is set sail on this ship before everybody's on board. I don't want that. But I also don't want to stay in the dock so long that we miss the Spirit moving at our church. My prayer is that we would move intentionally forward by the grace of God at the same pace that he wants us to go. I want to go as fast as he wants us to go, and no faster and no slower. My hope is that we will continue to be faithful in preaching and growing and reaching out to those around us, loving every person who comes, respecting the past of Celebration Church while looking forward to the future. And this is the last thing I'll say about that. When we think about corporate worship, when we think about church, we have to always remind ourselves, it's so easy to think this, that worship is about us and our preferences. Church, worship is not about us. Corporate worship is not about our comfort. It's not about our feelings. It's not about our preferences. It's about worshiping God. It's about God's mission. And so when we step in on a Sunday morning, we need to be about the Lord and his mission. So as we close, I just want to say God continues to bring people through these doors. We're growing. God is moving. I mean, in a time when other churches are kind of fallen apart, we have grown exponentially. We're bigger than we have ever been. But here's the thing. The single greatest thing that's holding us back is a shortage of volunteers. We don't have the structure to be able to support some of the level of people who are coming. There's a shortage of volunteers here. And so we need more volunteers for Celebration Kids, for nursery, for youth group, for worship team, for greeters, for audiovisual. We need Bible study teachers. We need group leaders. We need Celebrate Recovery people. We need people to help facilitate and build out the structure so that we continue to grow in a healthy way. We're called by God in Ephesians chapter 4 to utilize the gifts God has given us for the building up of the church. God has given every person a gift, and he wants us to use it to edify and build up the church. Some of us are feet, some of us are hands, some of us are eyes, some of us are ears and noses. Some of us are different things so that we can all build up the church together. I would encourage you, if you're not serving, I'm not asking people who are already serving a bunch to serve more. I'm asking people who may not currently be serving to consider stepping up. Pray about where God might have you here. If you're here and you want to serve, come see me. Come see one of the elders. We'd love to get you plugged in and serving. And even if you're in a situation like you don't really know what your gift is, I mean, 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that not all of us are going to play the same role. And so even if you don't know what your gift is, we'd love for you to come, and we'll figure that out together. I'd love to just sit down and have coffee with you and wrestle through the different ministries and see where your fit might be. We as elders are so excited for how God will move in the upcoming year. We hope that you guys are excited too. We feel privileged to have you all as members of this body. And I pray that in 2021, we can use corporate worship to glorify God. Let's pray. Father God, we are asking you to do a big thing here. We know that if you don't show up, it's not going to happen. We pray that as we move into 2021, that the work that is done would be blessed by you, that it would be right in line with your will. It would be what you want us to do. Help us to be faithful, God. Give us all that we need. God, we don't have all the answers. We don't have all the best solutions to every problem. And God, we know that we're probably missing things. But we pray that we would love and have unity and give grace to one another as we continue to wrestle through the best ways to move forward. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your word that steers us and guides us and directs us. And God, I pray that this week that you would be with each one of us. Equip us to go and to reach this world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.